Hi everyone, thanks for tuning in to the first edition of the Startup Operators Weekly Roundup. I'm your host Gunjan Saha, and along with Roshan, we'll be covering how the first 7 days of 2020 started for the startup ecosystem. Now, a lot of action has taken place. Within the first week itself, we have two unicorns, Mammoth and Fractal. A company also filed its papers to go IPO later this year, and a lot of government regulations will also soon come into place. But Roshan, I think the biggest highlight for the week, at least from what I see in Twitter, is the whole buzz around Shark Tank, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's already done, you know, what I mentioned earlier, which is make startups mainstream, right? Pretty much everyone seems to be talking about it, irrespective of age, right? Whether it's like the 40 plus people or whether it's, you know, 15, 16 year olds. And it's good that startups are becoming mainstream, you know, and interesting week as well. Yeah.
Another milestone is the government achieved 150 crore doses of vaccinations in the week.
That's
right?
Phenomenal. Really, you know, we've been covering these vaccinations for a while now, and the numbers are just astounding. Over 2 crore of these are teenagers between 15 to 18, right? Who have all of these exams and everything that they have to take. So yeah, I mean, I shudder to think what would have been our state without the vaccinations being as prolific as it has been. Right? We're seeing that the Omicron wave is like right now about to peak, right? Or rather, I mean, it's we're in the grip of the Omicron wave, and we'll probably peak in about late Jan or Feb, right? And, you know, not a lot of these infections, although the infections are, you know, pretty high and they're rising, not a lot of these infections are directly translating into hospitalizations or, you know, even deaths or something of that sort. So, which is again, you know, I mean, it's a milder variant for sure, but the vaccinations have definitely helped. I'm pretty bummed. I mean, I was really looking forward to going back to work in the office. And it's back to work from home again. I'm tethered to my desk, as are all the people around. But I have to remind myself that this is a privilege. You know, this is a privilege for me to work from home from a laptop. And there are plenty of others who can't afford that privilege. So, yeah, we have to be grateful for what we have.
Well, yep. But I mean, it's still positive, right? The number of fatalities because of Omicron has still been in the single digits in India.
Now, people are recovering sooner. I mean, I know a few friends who had it. I mean, they've recovered in like 3-4 days time itself. It's not as severe as, you know, what it was earlier. Like April, May last year was chaos. Yeah.
Cool. Let's get started with the roundup. As I mentioned, the first week of January produced two unicorns, which were Mammoth and Fractal. Sequoia Capital led the round for Mammoth, which was a Series F round of $52 million. And Fractal became the second unicorn in 2022 after it raised $360 million from TPG Capital Asia. Both the companies are now valued at $1.2 billion and $1 billion respectively. But you know what? What's really interesting about Mammoth is, despite the pandemic affecting its business, its revenues had increased like around 4 times in 2020 to 2021. And I think by March 2022, they were expecting to double that revenue to 960 crore. And it's very different from all the unicorns which we have covered in 2021, right? Mammoth is one of the few that has turned profitable. So do you think most startups, before they attain unicorn status, at least in this year, many of them will be profitable?
Well, it depends on the type of business, and in the business that, you know, Mammoth is in, right? I mean, it is a decently a good margin business, right? Varun Alagh, who is the founder and the CEO, is a senior brand guy. He's been at Unilever, Diageo, Coca-Cola. And I see more such people, you know, startup B2C brands, really, because they have a very good understanding of distribution. They have an understanding of consumer psychology. They know what it takes to build and scale a brand. Right. So why not? I mean, if you've been a senior exec for 15, 20 years of your life, I mean, given, you know, India's discretionary income is growing, given that, you know, there are so many brands that are coming up, you know, why not a startup, really? Because Mammoth is, again, a very classic example. 5-year-old startup started with products for new mothers and babies. And they're apparently the only brand in India that is made sales certified, right? Which is something to do with healthcare and, like, you know, safety and standards and so on. But and they've since evolved into cosmetics and skincare and plenty of things, right? Now you get even beard oil and stuff, right? Not that you need it, Gunjan. So their brand ambassador is Shilpa Shetty. And it's amazing, man. It's really amazing how they've been able to make strides, right? I mean, look at Nykaa, for example. All of these people have kicked the old world brand asses, right? I mean, Lakme is nowhere to be seen. At least I don't see them anymore. So yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, this 2020s will be the rise of D2C, I feel. And it does not all have to translate into, you know, these big billion-dollar brands and national brands and so on. But I'm also fairly excited about the number of lifestyle companies that will come up, right? Because, you know, we have plug-and-play infrastructure on the technology, logistics, distribution side of things right now. So you can start up a business on the weekend, right? So I'm really looking forward to, you know, the number of people who are just going to run a business, maybe generating 4 or 5 crores of revenue, employing 10 people or 15 people or whatever, right? Rather than being employees of, you know, bigger companies and so on. So fantastic stuff.
Yeah, and even if you look at Fractal, right, the space in which Fractal is operating, the whole AI and, you know, intelligence space, that has also seen a stark rise in 2021, at least with the SaaS companies. I think Fractal is the only second company in India in the pure play analytics space to reach unicorn status, the first one being MuSigma. And we saw the IPO which LatentView Analytics had last year, right? It was oversubscribed by 338 times in the retail markets. So what do you make of this going forward?
Yeah, Fractal is an old company, right? I mean, they've founded in 2000, almost 21 years back. They have about 3,500 people. You know, MuSigma, Latent Analytics are some of their peers. MuSigma was founded in 2004, Latent Analytics in 2006. And we saw what a bumper listing that Latent Analytics recently had, right? And services are a profitable business. I mean, it's a people business after all, right? The money is supposed to be used for R&D and acquisitions. They don't really have to, I don't think they really had to raise the money. They raised the money because of the, you know, availability of liquidity in this market environment, right? I mean, which I think is a wise thing to do, right? I mean, why not? If it's available, then why not, right? India apparently produces the third largest number of high quality academic papers in AI, apparently. This was news to me as I was reading up. And Fractal is going to invest in a few of their flagship programs. They have something called an Imagineer program where they educate people from across the country on basics of AI and so on. And they also have this program for IT services industry folks to cross over into data science and AI. Which is critical. I mean, it's creating a huge base of AI talent in the country, which is, I think, the game changer for the time coming. You know, I interviewed Rajiv Malhotra some time back, and he has this book called Artificial Intelligence and the Future of Power, where he talks about how AI will decide the geopolitical order, you know, of the present and the future. And that's absolutely true. I mean, you look at things that are happening in China, and it's going to be a key differentiator between countries itself. So yeah, I mean, definitely something to, you know, applaud that, you know, they're raising investments and they're investing in R&D and everything. And AI itself was such a hammer in search of a nail even about 5-10 years back, right? But now you're seeing such deep use cases emerging. There's literally not a single application that I feel is not, you know, AI compatible in some sense, right? I mean, that could be made order of magnitude smarter, more intelligent, more consumer focused with the kind of intelligence that AI can provide. So yeah, interesting times ahead for sure. And these things you can't build in-house, you know, not all of them can build these in-house. So Fractal kind of loans these services out to, you know, Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies. And there will always be a demand for this, I feel.
Right. Capillary Technologies, which is, you know, another AI-based and cloud-native SaaS product, they have filed the papers with SEBI to raise 850 crore rupees from public markets. Capillary also claims that they are the market leader in the APAC region with a 39% market share in terms of loyalty management capabilities in 2020, based on the markets they operate in. I mean, they serve more than 250 brands across 30 countries, and most of them are in the Southeast Asia region. But recently, it was also in the news for acquiring US-based customer experience platform named Persuade, which also marked its entry into North American markets. Now, recently, I'd come across a tweet, you know, which said that while Indian-born people are becoming CEOs of large tech companies in the US, there's an underlying trend also that's happening on this part of the world, where India is emerging as the tech capital in the entire Southeast Asia Pacific. Although most of the companies, you know, which are leading the technology charge in APAC, they all have Indian founders, right? So what's your thought on that?
So Capillary is one of the original, one of the SaaS OGs, right? I mean, they founded in 2008 when SaaS was not really a thing at that time. You know, I mean, you could recollect maybe three or four companies, at least I could recollect three or four companies from that time, right? Capillary, WebEngage, Wingify maybe, right? And the basic premise is that, you know, as a retailer, your customers walk in and leave, right? How do you know if they're coming back? How can you engage them? How can you provide more relevant, personalized products and services to them? How can you inspire loyalty and stuff, right? And to that end, I think it's, again, it's one of those problems that will always be there. I mean, it's a perennial problem and it's a problem for anyone operating in retail, right? And so Capillary is one of those few companies, one of those early companies as well that did a very good job of expanding into Southeast Asia and Middle East, right? 5-6 years back itself, I mean, they started expanding and they've had significant reach in those geographies. 2020 was particularly hard for them because, as you can imagine, COVID affected the retail sector like perhaps, I mean, no other industry did. And, you know, Anish, the founder, had documented some of their trials and tribulations on a couple of blogs, and it was a bit heart-wrenching, you know, to read how they had to let go of a few people, make those difficult decisions and so on. So yeah, I mean, I'm really happy that they've bounced back, and really happy also that the public gets to participate in their growth. You know, I mean, one of the things that I think India owes Zomato is the whole IPO story, man. I mean, I think people now, founders now think that it's entirely reasonable to, you know, IPO in India, right? I mean, that's an option that they have at least, rather than keep raising private capital or maybe, you know, IPO in the US or elsewhere. So yeah, I mean, all in all, a very good news, and, you know, all the best to the Capillary team.
And also, the growth which Capillary had witnessed, right, at least in early late 2020, early 2021, which was 200% year-on-year growth. And I think you had a chat with Abhijit Vijayvargiya as well, outlining this.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty interesting chat. I would recommend that everyone check out that episode where we discuss, you know, how do you go from $1 to $10 to $50 million of revenue. Again, I mean, not many companies in India have done that. And Abhijit was at the helm of the operations when they expanded their business. So fantastic primer on SaaS sales.
Central government is also working in partnership with a couple of ministries on a policy to regulate edtech players that are operating in India. The aim of the proposed policy is to curb monopoly and prevent exploitation of students by some edtech platforms through their lofty promises or unfair practices. Since 2020, many edtech firms have cut the lens for a wide variety of reasons. And according to some reports, edtech industry, you know, will soon become a $30 billion market in the next 5 to 10 years. So I think there is a huge need to swiftly address these critical challenges like data security, privacy, social, and other ethical issues. Now, how necessary do you think it is for the company to actually embrace a policy like this?
Oh, I mean, see, any fundamental innovation, I think you have to work with the government and policymakers, right? You can't just sneak this in. You know, I always prefer solutions by innovation rather than regulation, because regulation often has this cobra effect, right? I mean, it has unintended consequences to what you try to achieve, because, you know, it's a complex system, and second order, third order effects of things can really get out of hand. EdTech has been a land grab, man. I mean, we've spoken about what a massive opportunity it is. Like 1-1.5% of their total education spend right now is online. That's it. So there's a huge amount of headroom, and that's just in the domestic market itself, which is significant, right? And so everyone is kind of hurtling towards this goal. You know, if you look at any of the large EdTech guys out there, and in the process, I mean, yeah, I mean, they are cutting corners, you know, they are doing everything it takes to sort of get to that level of growth, I suppose, right? And it's integral that we prevent mis-selling, because, you know, it should not become a black mark on online education itself. Although, I mean, I feel that time is past. I mean, the genie is out of the bottle. I think, you know, even post-COVID, when normal life or whatever resembles normal life returns, we will have some kind of a hybrid model where some courses will be online, some courses which require some kind of experiments or whatever, some practical things. I mean, will be at an institution, or maybe peer learning will be at an institution or a premise or something. Even then, I think we need to prevent mis-selling. I think a few of the companies are offering loans at like some crazy interest rates, and you know, they're targeting a segment of the population that may not be fully aware of all of these terms and conditions. So yeah, I think it was expected. I really hope that the startups work with the government and the policymakers to evangelize what the opportunity is and how they're actively trying to help India become better.
In our last episode of 2021, we kind of made this prediction where we'd see a lot of second generation founders coming up, right? For a while, companies such as Flipkart, Ola, these have been the poster childs of, when the entire startup boom happened in India. And most recently, Ola's co-founder Ankit Bharti is set to launch a new SaaS startup named Amnic, along with his former colleagues at Ola, Satya Nagarajan, who was the VP of Software and AI, and Nimis Joshi, who was the VP of Strategy at Ola. They will be joining as co-founders. Now, Amnic will be operating in a very interesting space along DevOps toolchain area to help companies maintain a software development pipeline and also simplify the entire process. Now, as a result of this, the entire enterprise software development will become much easier. Secure is most likely to lead a $15 to $20 million round as part of the seed capital. And, we have been seeing a growing list of second-time entrepreneurs such as Sachin Bansal, Mukesh Bansal, Kunal Shah, Apramey Radhakrishnan, right? But, we have seen the growth of SaaS in 2021. The developer tools market is really heating up. What do you think of this?
No, I mean, see, this is what I said, right? At 30, 35 years, if you're worth a few tens of millions of dollars, what do you do with the rest of your life, right? I mean, it's not like you can, sip mojitos by the beach. I mean, for how long will you do it? Obviously, you will come back and start up again, right? Or you'll invest in companies and so on. So Amnic has a fantastic team. Nimish is a friend, so I got to meet the team. And they have very complementary skill sets as well, right? Nimish has fantastic skills on the strategy, business development side of things. Bharti, of course, scaled Ola's technology, right? Which obviously, I mean, there are few consumer apps in India that have seen that kind of scale, right? And we're seeing the success of developer-focused startups like Postman, BrowserStack, Hasura to an extent, right? All of them really kill it, right? I mean, so the developer tools market is really on fire. Right. And for good reason, you're seeing, what the costs of development are these days. I mean, it's impossible to hire like a really, really great engineer. And so, I mean, developer productivity is super important. And also, I think there's a bit of a lacuna in terms of engineering management. Right. I mean, it's very difficult to get people with, 8, 10 years of experience. It's really hard to hire those kind of folks who can, come in and set standards, frameworks, enforce cadence on, good practices and so on. So things like this will really, standardized development will help people ship software faster, more efficiently, right? And also it's this whole build from India for the world phenomena, right? And, when we had covered Postman, I think I had noted that there will be a lot more, companies of this sort emerging because, India has such a huge base of developer talent, right? So you're literally building for, people around you, that is applicable worldwide. So you will see investors backing more of these type of startups, in my opinion.
And also, if you look at it, right, before the entire startup boom, India was like the hub for, BPO processes, right? All of these companies will set up offices in India for the back office processes. And now we're building out technology over there. Interesting to see. Okay, so in 2021, we saw a lot of VCs taking high interest in investing in startups, right? There's a lot of white money, which is just going around. But now even public companies wants in on this game. Reliance has made a significant bet on the country's hyperlocal quick commerce space. They have invested a $240 million growth round in Dunzo. And with that, they'll be owning 25.8% stake in the company on a fully diluted basis. Dunzo is already enabling instant delivery of essentials from a network of micro warehouses. But with this fund, they will also be expanding its B2B vertical to enable logistics for local merchants in Indian cities. The concept of quick commerce has been attracting the most venture capital attention, with Zepto doubling its valuation to $570 million within just 5 months of launch. And Zomato backed Grofers rebranded itself to Blinkit to ride this wave. So many would call this like a smart move by Reliance. What do you think?
No, absolutely, absolutely it is. So Reliance has this knack of buying value, man. I mean, you look at some of the other acquisitions that they made, right? They never come in at the peak valuation. They always come in at the right time and they buy value. It's a smart move because Dunzo can offer that last mile logistics and the consumer front end that Reliance can leverage, right? Whether it is for their retail, they have the back end sorted, basically the retail supply chain and everything. And of course, there is JioMart, which is Reliance's e-commerce segment, right? And the logistics business is hard. I mean, every business is hard, but the logistics business is super hard because oftentimes you're running on razor thin margins and execution is critical, really, really, really critical. And there's an interesting podcast of Kabir Biswas, the founder of Dunzo, with Jivraj, right? And it's hard to think that, I mean, 2015, 2016 was such a crazy time. There were a bunch of consumer apps. There was an app for everything, literally, app for parking, app for this, app for that, whatever. And even at that time, right, Dunzo was such a crazy idea. I mean, really, really crazy idea. And I would not have guessed that they would scale, But do check out the podcast. I mean, it gives a very nice view of, how they did all of those things that they did to get to that scale. And also there's an interesting, interview of Kabir on Money Control. Check that out as well, where they talk about, their future plans and stuff. So I think with the Reliance backing, it will give them the ammunition to just go out there and really focus on the business, not worry about raising another round. Right. And really kill it with their execution. So yeah, I'm interesting how this will pan out going further.
Right. Apart from Reliance, State Bank of India has also made an investment of $20 million in Pine Labs, which is most likely to go IPO in the US within the first 6 months of 2022. Pine Labs said that it will invest the new funds in scaling its new product Plural, which they launched as part of its payment products to create an omni-channel partner of choice for merchants. The investment is also in sync with the government's recent push to PSBs to partner and align with the new age fintechs as part of the development of digital ecosystem in the country. But if you look at SBI as well, right, they have been really aggressively trying to, give this digital transformation a push. They have invested large amounts of money in initiatives like SBI Yono, SBI InTouch, and SBI Buddy. But with the entire fintech ecosystem growing in India, it's really high time that large players such as SBI, HDFC, ICICI, they need to start partnering with startups and bring about the next iteration of growth in the space.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's only sensible. I think banks in India are extremely prudent, right? In general, the financial sector, right? I mean, if you compare anywhere like to the US and so on, things get done a lot more faster here and people are a lot more proactive. In general, I think, I've just been noticing, right, with Reliance or with the banks or whatever, the old world businesses, the old money businesses here seem to be a lot more proactive than elsewhere, man. I mean, seriously, right? So we have to hand it to them. SBI partnering with Pine Labs is phenomenal. We've discussed Pine Labs' growth and journey on multiple podcasts earlier, right? And this will, there'll be a lot more tighter integration based on this, I guess.
So the Good Glam Co. last week had made a couple of acquisitions, which was Viduli and Winkle. And with these acquisitions and along with Plixo and Ms. Malini, Good Glam Group is creating a spin-off company called the Good Creator Co., which will become India's largest creator ecosystem. The Good Creator Co., or GCC, will offer influencer marketing and services solutions to consumer brands and media agencies. And as I mentioned, they'll be functioning independently. Good Glam has already invested 200 crore rupees as seed capital to build out its tech platform and acquire and invest in complementary influencer companies and tech solutions. But along with this, they'll also raise further rounds of capital from external investors as well. We have spoken a lot about how the creator economy is booming, but yeah, what does this mean for the creators in the space?
No, it's integral for the whole content community commerce model, right? That we discussed with Good Glam. And it's a fantastic time to be a creator. You know, Balaji Srinivasan has said earlier, right? I mean, the two big leverages, or I think it's Nawal, who said that the two big leverages of the modern era are media and tech, right? And media, I think, is going to become so much more important, right? Because you look at all of these brands, whether it is the likes of Nykaa or Good Glam or whoever else, they're working with little known influencers, right? Or even check out some of the fintech brands, for example. They're all working with, you know, YouTubers and so on to get their product out there. So, yeah, I mean, this is a boost to the creator economy for sure, right? And it'll only result in more such creators coming to the fore.
I also think, D2C brands will be the ones who will be really gaining an advantage on this. Maybe with all the influencer marketing and stuff, it becomes easier to reach the target audience.
Yeah, I mean, see, I still, at least I'm old enough to remember that, you know, all of these cosmetic brands and whatnot were endorsed by, you know, the likes of Shah Rukh Khan or Aishwarya Rai and so on, right? I mean, I've never seen, all of these brands being endorsed by anyone else. Either film stars or cricketers and whatnot. But it's good, man. I mean, these days, the creators also bring in that ready distribution, right? I mean, when you have 100K subscribers on YouTube or like, you know, few 100K subscribers on channels, on Instagram, etc. I mean, it's real value. It's real value for the brands itself.
Okay, so Indian agritech startup NinjaKart has rolled out an ESOP buyback plan worth rupees more than 100 crore. This is the company's second ESOP buyback since 2019. Now, we have seen, right, ESOP buybacks have become a growing trend among Indian startups to enrich their employees, as well as retain them in a highly competitive hiring environment, as you rightly mentioned earlier. Back in 2018, Flipkart was the first to announce a program, which actually created hundreds of millionaires, right, overnight. And if you look at last year, ESOP buyback in 2020 was just 50 million. And last year, the amount had grown to $435 million. Now, if you look at it, this is a very good risk to reward ratio for the ones who are actually willing to join early stage startups, right? And we'll see massive wealth creation going forward in this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the second order effects of this will be real, right? Already, I mean, I see so many people just angel investing, man. I mean, and I'm not even talking about like, 50, 60 lakh type of checks. I mean, 5-6 lakhs, 10 lakh type of checks, right? 40, 50 people investing that kind of cash. It can definitely be significant, you know? I mean, 14 years back when I started working with startups, it meant like 30 or 40% less pay. Right. And you had this mythical, ESOPs that you got that never really materialized. Right. Or, I mean, hardly anyone knew what's going to come out of it. Right. So it was like that. I mean, right now at this point of time, I think startups are the best employers. I feel like you have the best of the both worlds. I mean, you see them paying like top dollar for talent, and plus, I mean, you have this thing of a payday sometime in the future, right? So yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, and with this whole new generation of companies operating in the crypto Web3 space, I won't be surprised if interns will be joining this company. They'll be like, hey, no, instead of giving me a stipend, give me ESOP options to join. That would be fun to watch.
Gunjan, you have to bring up Web3 all the time. What is with this millennial obsession?
Yeah,
it's like, yeah. It's like that meme, right? It's like, I don't know what this is, but Web3 will solve for it.
Okay, let's talk about the other key venture deals from the week. Skill-based casual gaming company Zupi raised a Series B funding round of $102 million. And they also announced a strategic partnership with Reliance Jio. Nepean Capital led the round with 72 million infusion, and the partnership with Reliance involves integration of Zupi products in Jio handsets, which will reach Jio's established 450 million user base. AI and computer vision platform Avatar and fast food startup ID Fresh Food raised significant VC rounds as well this week. Avatar secured $45 million in Series B, which was led by Tiger Global with co-participation from returning investor Sequoia Capital India. And ID Fresh Food bagged about $68 million in funding, which was led by Newcrest Capital Partner and PMG Invest. Additionally, Bangalore headquartered full-stack customer engagement startup Exotel. They also raised $40 million in Series D funding round, which was led by Stepview Capital. Now, most of these are in the tech space, right? And one thing that really stands out is the funding by ID Fresh Food. I mean, I don't think ever since I moved to Bangalore, my fridge never had, you know, that idli dosa batter.
Yeah, no, ID is actually a great story. You should check out the founder story and everything. Guy came up in very hard circumstances. IIM graduate, right, who didn't take up a job and instead pursued a business. Fantastic. I mean, and they've grown like significantly. I mean, even if you go to Dubai or something, you see ID everywhere. So fantastic stuff.
Right.
We should do a deep dive on ID sometime, actually.
Okay, so there's a very interesting tweet by Rahul Mathur, who said the scale fallacy for startups is where people believe that, you know, if you increase the engineers by 3x, then the work that you're doing today will also increase by 3x. But the reality is that coordination cost, that means the 3x engineers will be doing it maybe like 1.5 or 2x of today's work. Yeah. What's your thought on that?
No, I saw this tweet and I got immediately reminded of that wonderful conversation with Sidhu Ponnappa that I had in 2020. Again, that's one of those conversations that every engineering manager should check out, where he talks about building and scaling software. It's really hard, man. I mean, sometimes I feel it's like trying to herd cats or something, right? I mean, getting a bunch of engineers to work together and ship code. So it's a fallacy that, you know, I've also often fallen prey to, where I just say, let's just throw people at the problem, right? But it doesn't work like that. I mean, more people means more coordination, and oftentimes actually it slows down. So yeah, interesting tweet.
So another really interesting tweet was by Fenley Suchak, who tweets, my sister who is 15 watches Shark Tank and asks me questions about business models. Main tabhi roadies dekh ke gaali seekhta tha. Now, I don't think I've come across as a more relatable tweet than this recently.
No, for sure. I mean, see, Shark Tank is mainstream, dude. Startups are mainstream, right? So yes, I mean, obviously it'll have all of the drama, and yes, obviously, you know, it'll be slightly exaggerated and everything, but it's a huge, huge net positive. You know, I can anecdotally tell you that my family, you know, the elders and the kids, both of them watch that, right? And it's such an amazing family experience as well, right? I mean, there are very few shows on TV that where, you know, the entire family can really watch these days. So yeah, I mean, amazing, amazing.
Okay, Roshan, take us through the episodes that we'll be putting out this week. One would be a conversation with Jyotsna, and we'll be putting out a mixtape of 21 moments from 2021.
Yeah, so the mixtape is interesting. So hopefully Thiru sir will finish the edits and everything in time for this week. It's pending on me. I mean, I can't blame it on him. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm just putting together 21 of these moments from 2021. We spoke to, I think, what was it, 80 plus founders, right? So some amazing conversations. And Jyotsna is someone I know for the last like 6-7 years. GrowFit is a brand that I order from very regularly. And, you know, we've spoken about this whole D2C and this phenomena that's happening, right? GrowFit was one of the early nutrition brands. 2015, 2016, when they started up, this whole health and nutrition thing was still nascent, right? They've had an interesting journey, and I spoke to Jyotsna about, you know, starting up in the food business. I mean, a lot of times we feel that, hey, you know, I mean, I'm such a foodie, I should just start in the food business, but it's nothing like it, right? I mean, food business is super, super, super challenging, because everyone has an opinion. It's extremely operations intensive. I mean, it's a fantastic conversation, important for anyone who's interested in that space, really.
So with that, our first roundup of 2022 comes to an end. Folks who joined us, thank you so much for your continued support. Don't forget to check out our social media handles on Twitter and LinkedIn for regular updates on startup news that's happening in the ecosystem. As well as, we'll be putting in a WhatsApp number in the description below, where we send you bite-sized content on startups just 3 times in a week. But do continue showing us your support. And again, we'll see you next Sunday.
All right. See you guys. Thank you.